thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy of our worship. He alone is worthy of us doing this broadcast together. He alone is worthy of us studying the life of Christ, a verse-by-verse exegetical study to be able to look at Christ and how he can help us with our traumas, our shortcomings, our troubles, all those things, our doubt, and all these things that, you know, keep us from being deceived, all those great things. And good morning, Kevin. How are you, brother?
Good morning. I'm doing well, sir. How about you?
Living the dream, brother. Living the dream, sir. Thank you very much. And as we go forward, we're going to be talking about the Great Tribulation today, one of those things that we know that tribulation's trials, and we know there's going to be a great tribulation. The Bible says one that has not been seen before, and I'm going to go ahead and skip ahead to the first verse we're going to do tonight and talk about some other ones, but Matthew 24:21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." I mean, it's coming. No one else has seen it. Over in 29, a verse that we'll be going in next Monday, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give up her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken." And I mean, these are some bad times coming, folks. Matthew 24:22, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but the elect's sake those days shall be shortened." And we could go on one after another. The tribulation is not a place that you want to wake up in. The tribulation is not a place that you want to go. The tribulation, this is real, folks. And so when we talk about the great tribulation, it's anything but great. It should be the evil tribulation, the terrible tribulation. And it's going to go on, and there's going to be, you know, I'm here to tell you, friends, that God has prepared a way that we don't have to go through the tribulation. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We buy into what God has for us. We trust Christ as our Savior, and we bring others with us. We want to drag our unsaved family members to the church, do everything we can, share the gospel. And folks, if you're doing everything, that's enough. Don't beat yourself up. If you're inviting, if you're sharing tracts, if you're bringing people to church, you're having people stop by, and some of your family members aren't getting right, aren't getting saved, just keep doing it. Don't stop doing what you do, but don't beat yourself up. Trust God with all this stuff. This is hard stuff. Life is really difficult. I got to tell you, there's so many people that have mocked me and laughed in my face when I've shared the gospel, and there's been so many of them that have come back and got saved. I remember a man I was sharing the gospel with in Germany. He worked in my section, and I outranked him, but I wasn't his supervisor. But I remember one day I told him, you know, "I'm a Christian. I don't like the swearing, and if I can ever do anything for you, let me know." And he mocked me. He said, "Oh, you're a holy roller, Sergeant Major." And I said, "I guess you could say that." I didn't want to be arrogant. I didn't want to be anything. But I remember that man's wife got on one of the original dating sites and met a boyfriend that she had her first relationship with, was with an American soldier. Somewhere there in Germany, it was a German woman, and she found this guy, and she came home and told her husband, "I'm moving in with my first love. Good luck to you." And I'll never forget that man coming back in my office and looking at me and saying, "Does your Bible have anything to say about this?" And I said, "It sure does talk about betrayal. It sure does talk about people doing this to you. But we just trust God. We just move out." And Kevin, I mean, you know, we're being warned a great tribulation is coming. Noah gave warning. You know, he went out there and built an ark. People laughed at him. They mocked him. You know, we're kind of in that same situation, but I do know this. I know that God's word never returns void. Share his word. I know that God can do a difference in people's lives, Kevin. He can change people.
Yeah, boy, there's always hope with God, and it will turn out in the end. And it may not be like the Waltons, like you were saying the other day, where we just, you know, every single little problem ends with, "Good night, John Boy. Good night, Mary Ellen." You know, it may not end always the same way, but I will say this, there is hope. And the hope, in fact, the Bible says that God comforteth us in all our tribulation. Tribulation means trouble, by the way. And the coming trouble is really the time of Jacob's trouble. And the tribulation is a period of time where Israel is going to be singled out by God. The church is going to be gone up in heaven, I believe. And it's going to be Jacob's trouble, not the bride's trouble. But don't be mistaken. God is using our troubles today as we near the end times. It is purifying unto himself a peculiar people. God is purifying, his bride is making her garments white. But who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So again, trouble, tribulation, interchangeable there. The idea is Jesus lets us know there's going to be trouble coming, but when we have trouble, there's going to be a purpose to it. There's going to be an end to it. The Bible says, you have heard the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and long-suffering. So there is an end. There's an end game. There's something that's going to take place. And it's not like, we're going to lose the season. We're going to win the entire season. We're going to take some losses. There may be some injuries. There may be some people fall on the way. Our star QB may get injured. But somehow, if Jesus is the coach, we're going to win the whole thing. And it's not going to be for our glory. It's going to be for his glory, because he's such a wonderful coach and such a wonderful team owner and so on and so forth. But tribulation is a real thing. We go through it, and as we suffer, we should just ask questions like, Lord, as I enter a tribulation period in my life, not a prophetic tribulation period, but something for me, my own miniature Jacob's trouble, what is the purpose here? I remember when I came here several days ago, Doug, and said, I got here, and you said, hey, how'd your MRI go? I said, they didn't do it.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. And I said, God, what in the world? Why 7 hours wasted driving here 7 hours? And a pre-procedural meeting the night before with a nurse practitioner. What was the reason for it? I witnessed to the people, the two ladies that were in there, I witnessed to. So there's a reason for that. I get that. Thank God we ought to do that. But, I thank God also that they were able to get on this thing. And even today, Doug, as I went to even though I couldn't have the MRI because of some metal that had been left in my body from a previous surgical operation, they did do an ultrasound. And she's taking her wand around. I'm like, could you see if this thing in my belly is a cool boy or a girl? There's just laughter going on because it's an ultrasound. But, anyway, they were looking at my shoulder to try to do what they could do in advance of surgery. So as you go through trouble, as I go through trouble, Lord, let me remember this, that you are making a way somehow to accomplish what's necessary. It's not going to be, I'm at point A. Oh, point B is going to be easily. I'm just going to launch out. No. To get to point B, I may get halfway to point B and find out there's a point C that I couldn't see when I was at point B. I'm at point A, excuse me. So at point A, I head toward point B, and then see there's a point C that's better than point B. And that's what God does with us sometimes. We have to launch out knowing that we're in some kind of a troublous situation, but knowing God's got something better. And until if I quit, if I give up, if I turn back, I'm never going to make it to the reason for the tribulation, Doug.
Yeah, I mean, there's, folks, trials will come. The book of James talks about divers temptation, trials, tribulation, troubles. And it says to count it all joy. And I know it's hard. Kevin, count it all joy that you drove up here for 7 hours. Count it all joy that you went. It's hard to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's hard to look at this great tribulation with joy other than to know that we're not part of it, other than to know that God is taking us away before this happens. And there's tribulation in our life. There's things that go on in our life that make no sense. Folks, I will tell you this. We serve a God in heaven that everything makes sense to. We can't understand it. We were talking the other day, I think 2 weeks ago now, where we were mentioning, what if the blessing comes out of the greatest trials we've ever had? What if the blessing comes out of those great things, those great trials that have been in our life, but nothing will compare to the great tribulation. And knowing that we get to escape that. And here's God warning the disciples, saying, hey, be ready. But this was a couple thousand years ago. He's saying, hey, end times are here. That was a couple thousand years ago. You know, well, how much closer are we now, 2024 years later or whatever, however many years. And we know that Christ was 33 about this time. So, you know, almost 2,000 years later. I mean, how much closer are we? Folks, we need to be prepared. We need to know that there's a great tribulation coming. We need to know what the great tribulation is. We need to be looking out for it. At the same time, we need to be serving God. We need to turn these things around. And folks, hang with us for a second. We're going to go ahead and let the radio stations do what they got to do. We'll be right back.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
We continue on with a verse-by-verse study of the Olivet Discord, the life of Christ, an exegetical study, looking at what God has for us in that. We find ourselves in the book of Matthew, continuing on with the Olivet Discourse, and we're in chapter number 24, verses 21 through 28, speaking of the great tribulation. We see that right in the beginning here in verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is the Christ, or there, believe it not. And folks, again, it's warning about being deceived, deception. You know, don't believe it. Make sure you test it. You know, don't believe it. God's already been, and next time he comes back, there's going to be a shout and a trump. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Boy, and let me tell you, folks, there are those out there that can do that. I was telling you the David Koresh story. And David Koresh was the leader of the Branch Davidian and ended up being attacked by the alcohol, tobacco, ATF, and being taken out in the building, burned down. All those kids died. All those peoples died. Wherefore, if they shall say upon you, behold, he is in the desert, go forth, behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. There are people out there pointing, saying, you know, you can find Christ when you come to this church. There's special healing, there's special Christ service. And let me tell you, when two or three are gathered in his name, Christ is among us even here. Even as Kevin and I go through this now, for as lightning cometh out of the east and sinneth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of Son of Man be. For whatsoever the carcase is, there will be the eagles be gathered together. A great tribulation speaks of an unprecedented tribulation. And the Bible even says one of which we'll never see, never seen before, will never be seen again. It's characterized by intense persecution, suffering, upheaval. Friends, we don't want to be part of that. We want to accept shortening of the days. That's where Jesus states that for the sake of the elect, the days of the tribulation will be shortened. They will go by quickly. And they demonstrates God's mercy and grace toward his chosen ones in the midst. And we know the tribes will get into that at a different time. And warning, here we go, another warning against deception. He warns his disciples, be wary of those false Christs and those prophets. They're out there. Folks, can I tell you, there was a sign out here on the highway that talked about the prophet and his wife. And they're both, she's a prophetess, he's a prophet. They're right here in town. Folks, we're warned against that. We're warned against prophets of deception. We're warned against that. And then there's clear signs of Christ coming. And Christ cautions that believing reports of secret appearances and remote locations, a bunch of junk. If someone tells you, I was watching TV one day, someone said, quick, turn on CNN. And a guy was saying that Christ was walking around a back town in Iraq. The Bible says, no, he's not.
Yep.
There's going to be a shout and a trump. Christ isn't walking around the back streets of Iraq. And I got to tell you, and it talks about, you know, as eagles are drawn to a carcass, they're going to be drawn to men who aren't saved, men and women who are there. So These verses underscore, again, Kevin, the reality of this situation. They illustrate, just as eagles are there, that people are going to be drawn to human beings. That if we have this right, we should celebrate. If we know these things, if we look for these signs, if we're warned against deception, if we know these things are going to happen, what should we do with this? We should believe it, trust it, step out and look for these things, Kevin. That's what I think God's wanting us to know.
Yeah, yeah. Look, step out, trust. Yeah, don't stay still. Don't cower in fear. You know, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. But, you know, part of our hope is, in fact, you know, as we look through Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus did not directly talk about the rapture. He does not talk about, you know, he's going to come and rapture his church out of this. It's not here. Where is it? You go to John chapter 14, down at verse 6, I believe it is. It says, I will come again. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. First Thessalonians chapter 4 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then 1 Corinthians 15 talks about, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. But then this here, what we're seeing in Matthew 24 and 25 culminates with the coming of Christ to the earth. That's different. Meeting the Lord in the air, going shall be ever with the Lord. Revelation chapter 4, 5, and 6 in there talks about us meeting Jesus Christ and immediately being at the throne of God. So yeah, we're going to meet the Lord in the air, show up in heaven for the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, marriage supper of the Lamb. All that good stuff's going to go on up there. But at the end of the tribulation, he's going to come back with the armies of heaven. That's Revelation 19. When he comes and he sets his foot on the earth, it'll be on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split open. That's there in the book of Zechariah. And there's all these great just fulfillments. But what Jesus is talking about here is Jacob's trouble. All of the bad things going to happen to Israel, and the culmination of which is going to be them being saved when Jesus Christ comes in the clouds. And we are going to be, I believe, in the armies on white horses. Praise God. That's exciting to me. But there, the dissenters would say, no, you're just talking about a recent movement. This whole rapture thing is a recent movement. No, it's not. You know, I read my Bible, but there's been a lot of fad movements to try to undermine our blessed hope. Did you know that the book of 1 Thessalonians, every chapter ends with hope for his coming? There's not a single chapter says, you know, and to wait for his appearing, Jesus Christ, you know, just talk about over and over. Every chapter of 1 Thessalonians ends with hope in the rapture, but none of them end with, and brace yourself for the tribulation, brace yourself for the Antichrist. Why? Because our hope is a blessed hope in the rapture. Now, we do have trouble. We do go through tribulation. In this world, you shall have trouble, tribulation, but be not dismayed. And that whole thing is the context of I will come again. That's John 14 I'm quoting. In this world, you shall have tribulation, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So there in John 14, 15, 16 is that whole context. So I'm just, brother, I just want to say we're not escapists to the point that we don't want to deal with reality. No, but we have a Savior. I've heard the rapture called the evacuation. It's when God shows up. It's the evacuation is what? When the authorities show up to take the innocent people out before the disaster hits. That's what an evacuation is. The authorities come to take the innocent people out before the rapture, before the disaster. And that's a very scriptural concept. 2 Samuel 22:17 says, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. God does give us a way out. There's a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And it's no less true about the tribulation. So let's not get hung up when people try to sell your blessed hope. Jesus gives us a blessed hope, but then he outlines what the tribulation is going to be like, which I believe is going to be what's going to take place on the earth while we're in heaven, judgment seat of Christ, that's serious stuff, and then the marriage supper where we come back afterwards as glorious bride on horses.
Yeah, I still remember, brother, it was about 20 years ago. I got a phone call from a lady we had went to church with in Germany, and she called me up, and there was an evangelist that came through her church. And he was absolutely certain that on the seventh month, the seventh day, the seventh hour of the seventh year, that the Lord was coming back. He had put together a string of Bible verses, and folks, he had deceived this very godly, saved woman who read her Bible every day. And we just have to be prepared for these folks who bring deception. These folks who, you know, they disobey God's word. And the Bible tells us at the end of Revelation, whoever adds or takes away from this word, you know, they'd be better off. Folks, look at it. Look at the end of Revelation. It'll mess you up. And we need to be very careful that we know the tribulation's coming, but at the same time, we don't fall for everything.
Yeah.
We just take this information, be prepared, and understand there's going to be betrayal. There's going to be deception. We're going to have some questions. And understand you got a great God who will answer everyone and guide you through. Yeah. We love you, people. Thanks for spending the day with us. We look forward to all of us getting back together next Monday. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name, while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.